Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We will pivot today, and I will at least have time to introduce the fourth and final option regarding the identity of this king and priest Melchizedek that we met in Genesis chapter 14 and verses 18 through 20. He is a compelling person on the pages of Holy Scripture, and I trust you have benefited from meeting him and seeing him in action, especially as he relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. If at the beginning of our conversation about Melchizedek you thought, just another name among many in the Old Testament, I hope that you now see his significance. Let me remind you what we have done. And I want to do this especially for those of you who have been following along closely, jotting down some notes, and wanting to make sure you capture everything in the outline. And someone asks, taking notes? I'm out here driving on the road, brother. I cannot take notes and drive at the same time. I hear you. Maybe it is taking mental notes for you. Well, whatever the case may be, the goal here is to make sure you come along with us and stay engaged. We have just completed our look into option number 3 for the identity of Melchizedek. He was a real man and also a type of Jesus Christ. We asked, in what ways was Melchizedek a type of Christ? We answered in 2 ways. First, Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that he was king and priest. Second, Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that he was a priest superior to the Levitical priesthood. And we said Melchizedek and then Christ are greater than the Levitical priesthood in at least 6 ways. I will give these to you one last time. First, the Levitical priesthood was established strictly for Jewish people, but Christ's priesthood is for all people. Second, Christ is both king and priest, but the Levitical priests were only priests. They were not royalty. Third, Christ brings permanent righteousness and peace, whereas the Levitical priesthood never offered permanent righteousness or peace. Those are the first 3. Fourth, Jesus Christ had no human genealogy to qualify him as priest, whereas human genealogy was all that qualified a Levite to be a Levitical priest. Fifth, Christ's priesthood is a new covenant priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was an old covenant priesthood. And sixth, Christ is an eternal priesthood, but the Levitical priesthood was only temporary. Those are the last 3. In total, 6 ways that Melchizedek and then Christ are greater than the Levitical priesthood. I trust you were with us as I taught each one, drawing your attention to many texts in the Scriptures. If you missed any or want to listen again, just visit our website, godisministry.org, and get the free podcast, godisministry.org. And now we pivot back to the question, who was Melchizedek? Option number 4. Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Christ. Option number 1 was that Melchizedek was Shem. Option number 2, Melchizedek was just an ordinary man who was king of Salem. Option number 3, Melchizedek was a real man and also a type of Jesus Christ. And now option number 4, Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Christ. He was not an ordinary man. Not a real man at all, but rather Melchizedek was Christ. Who did Abram meet in Genesis chapter 14 after the War of the Kings? Abram met Christ. Melchizedek was not only a type of Christ, Melchizedek was Christ. Let's discuss. And begin with this reminder, or at least I hope you already know, that Jesus has always existed. He is eternal. as one of the three persons in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, Christ has no beginning, and he has no end. He is uncreated. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 we read, He, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Revelation 1:8 and Colossians 1:17. Having said that, the Bible also teaches that Jesus the man was born of a woman, Mary, at a specific time and place. He is the incarnate Christ. He took on human form. Jesus was raised in the home of his parents, Mary and Joseph, and he grew up just like any other child grows. In adulthood, he fulfilled his earthly ministry, all in the incarnate flesh and blood. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 14 declares, The Word, meaning Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in the Hebrew Bible, what we often refer to as our Old Testament, Jesus Christ appeared several times. These are what we call pre-incarnate appearances. Pre meaning before, incarnate still meaning human flesh, form of flesh and blood. Sometimes we use the term theophany. In the Greek language, theos means God, and phino means appear. God appears. Or a Christophany, Christ appears. As you begin in Genesis and read along chapter by chapter, you will encounter Christ. The text often introducing him to us as the angel of the Lord. According to Jesus, in his incarnation, in his flesh, Christ was before Abraham. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 8 and verse 58. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. So the Lord himself tells us he is eternal. Because he is before Abraham, he can certainly appear to Abraham. And our fourth option proposes this is what Christ did when he took on the form of a man named Melchizedek. Long before Jesus arrives in the Gospels, he visited Abram at the end of Genesis chapter 14. It seems to me this understanding of Melchizedek certainly fits best with the way in which I interpret the Bible. Number one, I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. By verbal, I mean that every single word of the Bible is God-given. That is why I am so concerned with the Word of God. Every word on our printed page or screen is intentionally placed there by Holy God. And if He wants it there, then it is important because He is God. And by plenary, I mean all parts of the Bible are divinely authoritative. All of the Scripture is from God. We do not get to pick and choose and say, well, the New Testament here clearly comes from God, fits with who we think He is, and so on. But those Old Testament genealogies, and that creation account, and certainly this God of wrath and anger, that's not who God is. We absolutely cannot think like that. It is an evil to do so. Friends, every centimeter, Jesus will say every smallest letter and stroke, all of the Bible is divinely authoritative. Every part of it. And by inspiration, I mean that God has supernaturally guided the human authors of Scripture to write exactly what He wanted to say. so that everything we read in the Bible is precisely what God wants to say to you and to me. This is it. Does God speak today? Yes, he does. He speaks through the Bible with precision. If you want to know what God is saying, read your Bible. Oh, how can it be that Christians do not love God's word and many do not read it? This is heartbreaking to me when I think of it. Christians, read your Bibles. This is the very word of God. Number two, I believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible. By this I mean I take the meaning of the language in the plainest and most obvious, the most concrete sense of their meaning. If the Bible says it, the Bible means what it says. Except where there is a clear figure of speech, for example, the trees of the field clapping their hands, I take the scripture literally. Jesus did, the apostles did, and I do. You know that listening to me. And I assume that because you listen to me, you read the Bible this way as well. You have a literal interpretation. This is why the meaning of every single word in the Bible is of interest to us. This is why we spend time on meaning. We have got to get the right interpretation. There's so much error, so much misinterpretation out there today. I hope you will join me in this practice of getting God's word properly, literally interpreted. This is a very important task and endeavor to those who believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. Okay, if it sounded like a sermon, end of sermon. The option for Melchizedek that best fits a verbal, plenary, inspiration, and literal interpretation is that he was the pre-incarnate Christ. And I will show you how tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.